So please welcome Chris McKinney.
Thank you. This is a story about a taxing time in 1978. Kind of a tragic, comic, almost surreal taxing time. I've always thought that this would actually make a good play. The main setting would be a hospital room, and the main characters would be a patient and her daughters. By the time my mother had reconciled herself with her alcoholism and quit drinking, it was too late. The damage was done. Her liver was pretty well shot. She spent her last few years in Key West, sober, painting seascapes and sunsets and dabbling in creative writing. Even though she wasn't well, she managed to get herself over to her homeland of England for a nostalgic trip during her last year of life. But eventually we got the call. She was in the hospital. The end was near. She was in and out of coma. She was 62 years old. So my sisters and I converged in Key West because we wanted to spend the time and the money to be with her before she died rather than after, and she didn't want a funeral anyway. Now, at the time, my sisters and I were very different. We didn't have much in common at all, except for the fact that we all grew up in the same dysfunctional family, and our mother was dying. I was 33, still very much immersed in my Donna Reed motherhood homemaker role, not having yet emerged into the feminist I would become. My sister, and I lived in Maryland. My sister Jenny was 30. She lived in Ann Arbor. 6 feet tall, bold and brash, beer swilling, and according to my English cousin, she was from the United States of Kiss My Ass. My sister Sue was 27. She lived in England, having finally settled down from all her wanderlusting travel, married an Englishman, and had just had her first baby. And my sister Linda was 25. She had done some backpacking around Europe with Sue, but at the current time was a not-so-latent hippie living on the beaches of Key West. So we spent most of our time in my mother's private hospital room. The doctor had been saying any day now for about a week, and we booked our round-trip flight a week before Thanksgiving, thinking surely, because of everything the doctor was saying, that she would be gone by Thanksgiving and we would all be back with our families for that holiday. So we took catnaps in the hospital chair. We ate out of the hospital vending machines. We ate in the hospital cafeteria. And the doctor was saying any day now, he'd come in a couple of times a day, any time now. One day ran into another. And during the whole time we were there, there was a elderly Hispanic patient, male, down the hall that kept yelling about every half hour, "Tómame Dios! Tómame Dios! Tómame Dios!" And one time, now it's been like 3 days now, and we had very little sleep, very little to eat, lots of tea and coffee. We were getting pretty slap happy. And it looked like my mother was coming out of her coma. She was squirming around in her bed, so she looked uncomfortable. So I went up to her, and I tried to prop up her head and put the pillows under her head. And she very, very weakly said, "You're back. Yes, Mom, I'm back. I'm here with you. You're back. Yes, Mom, we're all back. We're all here with you." And then she mustered all her strength, propped herself up on her elbow and said, "No, damn it, you're going to hurt your back." So that gave us a little comic relief. Another time, Jenny's standing on one side of the bed. I'm standing on the other side of my comatose mother. And Jenny looks me right in the eye and says, "God, I'm dying for a cigarette." Well, after that, we just lost it. We started laughing hysterically. It just struck us so funny. And like I said, we were pretty slap happy by then. Also, down the hall, voiceover, Ptolemy deals, Ptolemy deals. We could not stop laughing. Of course, it was emotions, you know, laughing and crying are so close. So I finally asked the nurse, what is that man saying? And she said, he's saying, take me, God. He wants God to take him. The doctor comes in, any time now. We decided we had to get out of the hospital room. So we went back to my mother's apartment to start packing up her stuff. And if we wouldn't have done that, that task would have been left all to Linda alone. So the plan was that we would pack up her things, and then at some point later, she would drive up in a U-Haul, and I would store them in my basement until the four of us had time to go through everything together and divvy it up. So we get to my mom's apartment. Jenny opens a beer, Linda lights a joint, and I had a cup of tea. And we started packing. And we're going through photo albums and family heirlooms and wrapping things up and laughing and crying. And we were spent taping boxes, stacking them up. While we're in the middle of this, the neighbor lady comes over and sees what we're doing and assumes the worst. Her face fell. Oh, so sorry for your loss. And I don't know which one of us said it, but we said, she's not dead yet. We're just trying to be efficient. And she, this neighbor lady, was just horrified that we would be doing what we were doing when my mom hadn't died yet. She turned on her heel and stormed out, gave us a little more comic relief. We finished up what we were doing and dragged ourselves back to the hospital, not knowing what we would find. Would she be semi-comatose? Would she be in a coma? Would she be gone? Because the doctor had been saying, any day now. We walk in the hospital room. My mom is sitting up in bed, fully conscious, eating an apple. And my sisters and I all looked at each other with the same thought. Holy shit, we have to go back and unpack. She's going to come out of this. But she didn't come out of it, actually. Later that day, she lapsed back into a coma for the last time. So, as I said, we had our reservations to go home for Thanksgiving, and the next day was Thanksgiving. So we kept our plane tickets, not knowing if we'd be back after Thanksgiving or not. And I went back to Maryland to my husband and three children. Jenny went back to Ann Arbor to her husband, her son, and her pet boa constrictor. And Linda took the day off and drove up to Miami to visit a friend. And we got the call the day after Thanksgiving that Mother had died all alone in her room. I guess she just didn't want to go when we were all there with her. My sister spread some of her ashes in the ocean off the coast of Key West and read this poem that my mother had written, most certainly for this very purpose. Who are you, spirit of the sea, that you can cast this spell on me? Your woman, yes, you have to be. I will be yours eternally. Long eons ago, the powers that be determined that you set me free. But here I muse, loving you, see, as I will do eternally.